Good evening. It's a privilege to be here with you guys tonight. What an honor it is we can come together and pray together about things that are on our heart, just the trials of life. Tonight, I want to speak about what I call the joys of suffering. I don't think it's a coincidence that that's what the Lord put in my heart this evening. And you don't have to look around too hard to see that life's pretty hard. That page has got fuller and fuller as we sat here, and I just thought about little Ace, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what heartache is. I don't know what suffering is. So I wanted to talk about why doesn't the Lord just put us on the mountaintop, leave us there till he comes back, and why do we have to go through all this stuff? But what comes from it? What are the benefits of it? So we're going to look at some scripture tonight and see what the Lord has to say about that. If you want to, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 12:26. And as you're turning there, let me go ahead and preface this that as I stand before you, I don't know what suffering is, I'll be honest. The Lord has been very gracious to me, very good to me. I'm 35 years old, I'm healthy, I have a job, my wife and family are healthy. So please don't take what I'm saying as get over it. It's not my intention. I understand that there's many people here that have been through life, and they could tell me quite a story that would pretty much humble me. But let's just see what the Lord has to say in his word about it. The first thing we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians 12:26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. As I was reading that, I think suffering brings the body of Christ closer together. As we go through this life, we all go through things that burden our hearts differently, that weigh on us, and that happens at different times. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord brought us all together to comfort each other. And in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." And I thought about that, and I saw that word in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, who comforts us in any tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. We don't all have to go through the same things to be able to encourage each other. I have no idea what it feels like to have a sick child. I don't know. But I do know that through scriptures, people have shared with me that have brought comfort to my heart. I can share those with someone else. An example, years and years and years ago, I was going through something, and a dear brother sent me a text. He just sent me, he said, all said was, "Read Lamentations 3, 22, and 24. That's all it said, nothing else. I never even read Lamentations. I probably couldn't even find it in my Bible at that point. And I read that, and it just touched my heart so much to know that a brother was thinking about me, and the Lord put that verse on his heart for me. And I was able to take that verse just a few months ago, actually, and share that with someone at work, and it was an encouragement to them and a comfort to them, even though they weren't going anything through anything that like I was going through. So the Lord uses these things to bring us together. I don't know if you look back and look at some of your deepest friendships, what forged that? You know, what happened that made those relationships so close? I look back and I think, man, that time when my friend sent me that text, you know, I was going through something, He stuck there with me, and it just was an encouragement and a blessing. I think about me and Mark. You know, I'm honored to have a friend that I can come to and talk with and just ask questions and grow with, and he's such an encouragement to me. But we actually were talking about it a few weeks ago, that the turning point in our friendship was when my heart was broken, and he was just there for me, just to encourage me and comfort me. And that's when our friendship really grew together. The Lord really blessed that. So I think the Lord uses these things if we respond the right way, if we if we open up to each other and be honest with each other, he uses these things to bring us closer together. I think the devil sometimes tells us to isolate ourselves, to hide out, to be alone, and no one knows what you're going through, so they can't help you. And I think that's a lie. I think the Lord has placed us all here together to bring us closer together through the sufferings that we go through. The second thing that sufferings can do for us is suffering changes us for the better. And in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, James says, "My brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And as I was studying through this, I stumbled upon this verse in Psalms, in Psalm 119:71, and I thought, man, I could just hide that in my heart and keep that, where David says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." I mean, God will go put us through these things to change us. We are not the way we're supposed to be, if we're honest. I'm glad I'm not the same man I was when I was born again, but I know I have a long way to go. One of the things me and my friend were talking about a few years ago was I was asking him a question. I was going through something, and it just seemed like the Lord could just snap a finger and make it better. And I didn't understand why wouldn't he just change the situation, just fix it, and then everything would be good, and I can go on my merry way. And one of the things he said to me, and I always remember this because it really applied, it really helped me a lot through the years, was God doesn't always change our situation. He may never change it. He just may change our perspective on it. You know, maybe God's trying to get us to see things through his own eyes. I think about when Christ was praying in the garden before he was crucified. And he said, he's praying and weeping before the Lord, that if there was a way that cup could pass over him. But when he finished praying, he closed with, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And I think, is that the attitude the Lord wants out of us? Could we sit here and say, over a sick child, "Lord, I'll trust you," over just making him better? I mean, I'm not there yet, but maybe that's what the Lord's trying to do. He's trying to change our perspective and to trust him more and more. The last thing that I want to share with you guys was, in my opinion, the most precious, was that suffering brings us into closer intimacy with Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, we read, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." As we go through the trials and sufferings of life, I believe we gain a deeper intimacy with our Savior. Throughout Scripture, we learn that Christ has the preeminence in all things. And I think one of those things is suffering. None of us can honestly sit here and say we know a drop of what our Savior went through. He knows the pain of rejection by his dearest friends. He knows the heaviness and depression of isolation and loneliness. He knows physical exhaustion. He knows what you and I are going through. And because he knows that, he draws us near to him, that we may be close to him in those times. The other side of that coin is that as we suffer, we can draw closer to him in understanding who he is and who he was while he walked this earth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. This has been on my heart for a few months now. And we break in verse 9, and Paul is writing to the Philippians, "And be found in him," and in him he's talking about Christ, obviously, "not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The fellowship of his sufferings. You know, I thought over that for a long time. I couldn't wrap my head around it. I couldn't quite understand it. And then the Lord gave me a thought a few months ago. I was able to share it with our young adult Bible study, but my little brother and I, we were homeschooled together. Best friend I ever had. We were growing up because, you know, homeschooled, you don't got no other friends. So, you guys know, right? So, as we were growing up, I mean, we shared everything together. We were it. We did it all. Well, we got older. We grew up. He went into the army, and he went over to Iraq. And when he came back, there was just something different. Something that there wasn't something between us. We were still, you know, we still enjoyed being around each other and still loved each other, but there was just something a little different. When I realized, when I went home after hanging out with him, that I don't know what he went through. I can't relate. And I remember telling myself, I would go to war if it meant I could have that intimacy with my brother again. I wonder if that's what Christ wants from us. To say that we'll go through the gates of hell if it means we can know him a little better. If it means we can know him a little sweeter. In closing, I thought what Paul was saying was good in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Brothers, I'm thankful, brothers and sisters, I'm thankful I can be here with you. And that we can share in each other's suffering and rejoice in each other's happiness. But I know it's only for a moment. Because in heaven, we're going to be, that suffering will all be over. And we can rejoice in our Savior for eternity. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time you've allowed me to come and to share some of your word. Lord, I hope I did it justice. I hope I glorified you and honored you with it. Lord, I love you this morning, evening. I thank you for who you are and what you've done in all our lives, Lord. Lord, in Scripture, it teaches us to count it all joy for the trials we go through, Lord. So even with tears in our eyes, we say, thank you, Father, for the things that you've allowed us to go through. We know you love us. We know that you will see us through the end, Lord. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for what he went through for me. Thank you that he is still interceding on my behalf on your right hand. Lord, I love you. I love you. We love you, Lord. Be with us as we go out for the rest of our week. Help us to glorify you. Help us to change our perspective, Lord, to not see the trial, but see you. Help us as we stand in the furnace to walk with you. And let when it's done, help us to shine brighter for you, Lord. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Keep us safe as we go out tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.